Welcome to Pause It Play. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Dan.
We've got a little help this week with recurring character Matthew Carline. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be here
on this beautiful day.
Oh, it's absolutely delightful. Gorgeous. Recurring character. We've name dropped you a few times. This other 1975 OG.
Yeah.
I think was the. So is there, are there any, what have you particularly mentioned? Which
Caroline was in the Deaf Institute videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was there at the start, sound control.
Yeah.
The gig, wait, no, the venue that he's now, no, sound control student flats, what, the other one that closed down? Dry Bar? No, I don't know. Moho Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one where Mike Healy walked in and said, it smells of fish in here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fish in here.
What did, that's what Manny said, isn't it?
Yeah. Stinks of fish.
I was at a gig, but I don't actually remember watching the band. I think I went out after. I think I came to watch you guys and then immediately left.
Yeah.
Didn't realise they were playing.
Is it you're cancelled then. Get off the podcast.
Because there was two rooms. Well, no,
yeah.
So you said that you played in the other room and that they were playing.
Yeah. We said we thought we were playing with them. At the start, because it was other Manchester bands on there as well that we were excited to play with, and it was like, no, go in the other room and be quiet.
Keep it down.
Yeah.
Stop ruining it for everyone else.
Tim just comes in and turns all your amps down.
Yeah, guys, bit of ambient noise coming through. We'll just have to. Oh, that's like, it's not like it, but it's a good story. When Paul's played in America in the same building as Morrissey. And Morrissey refused to play because he said he could hear. So, you know, like at Academy and maybe other such academies around the country. So, Manchester Academy, like Academy, Club Academy, Academy 2 and Academy 3, you're all in the same building.
Yeah.
So, like, you can hear there's a band on. It was like this place in America. And yeah, this band, Paws, were playing where Morrissey was playing. And he wouldn't go on stage because he could hear them.
It wouldn't do when he starts his songs, though, would it? Come on, Mazza, lad. Yeah. Use your head. I know he's a bit old these days. I can't even see now that either.
His hearing must still be good, despite years.
Yeah.
No, it makes it difficult to like him these days, doesn't it, Morrissey?
He likes to be like that, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Keeps himself in the public eye by just being a general dick.
Look, we're giving him like time on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because of it. Free advertising.
He's got some good songs.
Got millions of listeners.
I love him. I love Morris.
We could slander him, I suppose.
Yeah. What about Real Mort? too soon?
So basically, nobody listened to any of Morrissey's solo stuff. only listen to the stuff that the rest of the Smiths will get royalties for. That's the official advice. He's a bad dude. What's new? What's been going on?
I'm back in work tomorrow. My furlough has officially ended.
That must hurt.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I'm ready for it.
My favourite quote possibly of all time is you saying that I've got too many hobbies for a job.
Yes, I do. I do. I've got too many hobbies. I'm cut out for retirement.
Do you think I had any hobbies until I started this podcast? So cheers, guys. You've saved me. But
I've been Mackie's fan.
I've given Mackie's up. That is new.
That's big. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm being
as of today. Is it?
Yeah. So when was my last Mackie's? Friday. So
it's like an AA meeting. When was your last Mackie's? What did you have? How did it make you feel?
I'm being Junior's best man in October, which is an indeterminate amount of time away from now.
Yeah.
For the purposes of the podcast. I've got to lose 23 pounds of body fat. Where am I putting it?
23 pounds of body fat?
Yeah.
That's a lot in 2 months.
Wait. No, it might not be 2 months. For the purposes of the podcast. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Oh, no. That...
it's 10 weeks in it, so it's about 2 pounds a week, which is pretty healthy.
Do you have all body fat or just body mass?
Could you not just turn it into muscle instead?
Some of the fat that I'm getting rid of. Yeah. I might recomposite, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a new weight loss program. I spent £40 on plant-based food. Meal prep.
Did you? Oh, are you even after the horror story of Matt's visit to Nando's?
Yeah.
Careful. Maybe that's why you've got a bad stomach.
We've not started yet. It gets delivered on Tuesday.
No. He's probably heard the stories and now it's worried. It's like, whoa, don't have Nando's again.
Yes. So that'll be interesting. I'm going to be thin.
You're not big.
Well, I'm going to be gorgeous.
Thin.
You can make this a weekly feature. I'll give you a kind of like a weigh-in on the show.
I'm the biggest loser.
Today, I'm 14 stone, 8.5, guys. So, come back next week.
Also, I'd do like a commentary of you walking to the stables. Last week, Dan only lost 0.5 pound. Let's see if he's really not been to McDonald's this week.
Leave a tracker on my phone. Like,
Dan is at the retail park at the drive-thru.
I'm just a sports direct again, guys. Other sports stores are available.
I love that you actually were on the album ranking episode. We were like, oh yeah, you've got your spreadsheet and you've got your analytics, and you just dropped in that you've got a spreadsheet for your weight loss. Yeah, it's on the spreadsheet.
You've got to do it.
I think you're like the most normal guy who lives the life by spreadsheets, I think.
Like, I should be harder to be around, maybe.
I was going to say, have we been listening to anything good this week? But for the third week in a row, I'm going to say, have we listened to The Night Game? Have you heard The Night Game?
No.
Oh my God. That album is so good.
It is. It's fantastic.
And amazingly, Danny's not convinced.
I can't get into it.
I can't believe that.
A few times.
I thought it'd be right up your street.
Yeah.
I can almost see what you're saying.
Have you gave Coffee and Cigarettes a listen? Because
I think that's the original one you linked us to.
Yeah, it was.
I'm trying to find it. I listened to the album yesterday, and there was one that I'm willing to certify. It's Dan certified.
Is it Bad Girls Don't Cry?
Which I'm trying.
I reckon that could be a Chromeo song easily.
So what was the album that you would, or The Night Game, self-titled? Yeah. Do You Think About Us? I think it could be a Lenny song.
Well, that is...
The title of it, it could be.
Yeah, definitely. You know Boys Like Girls, the old pop punk band?
Yes.
It's the guy from Boys Like Girls.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Great fact. This changes everything.
And he's now just rebranded himself. It's like a solo thing, but he's got like a full band and everything.
Oh, right.
And it's like really like 80s, just like... How would you say? It's almost cinematic, the music, isn't it?
Yeah, it reminds me of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's so good. You should... Do you know what, Dan? I think if you saw him...
This may help, yeah.
If you watched a live video, it might help because he's cool as fuck.
Right.
And he's got a bit of a mullet as well.
Right, okay.
Oh, well.
I'll give a video a go.
If I wasn't sold already, the mullet.
There's some, like... he did these like live videos in like this like YouTube performance space, so they're like super well produced.
Yeah.
And like him and all his band are like going for it. And they're really getting into it.
Yeah.
It's so good. So I actually don't have anything else to say because that's all I've been listening to.
I've been listening to WAP by Cardi B. It makes me question society and what's acceptable in 2020. Also made me a bit horny. So, I just don't know what to do with this mix of emotions.
Probably find that room and touch yourself.
Well, I said before I didn't have a hobby.
I just changed the rap to fap.
Yeah. So I don't know what I think if that was music was coming out of my daughter's bedroom.
Do you know what?
Surprise, it's empowering, but
makes me think of initial wife. Internet, you got an email for?
Yeah.
Oh,
the mid-noughties, and it wasn't really internet. It was like
C-fax.
It was C-fax on your phone.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Hey, kids.
International listeners are going to be like, what the fuck?
C-fax isn't even
anyone under like 27 is going to be like,
Well, I'm under 27 for another 11 days.
Yes. What are you doing for your birthday?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing for my birthday. Shooting a music video with a super light now.
What a cool thing to do on your birthday.
Very fancy.
So nice of him to arrange that for you.
I know.
It's a birthday experience.
I have to explain the reasons why I've not listened to any of these bands that you've spoke about.
Go on.
Mainly because this is something that we discussed on one of the podcasts I do, where I think you get to a certain age and you kind of don't listen to new music.
Right.
No, you don't.
Go on.
Because I've always found myself as someone who always listens to like new music or at least chart music and kind of keeps ahead of what's going on in real life. But now I just got to stage now where I just listen to the same bands And if they bring something new out, I'll probably listen to it. But what, it's not going to be as good as the old stuff. And I think it's just because you get to a certain age and you're just like, ah, anything that's happened now is just rubbish. But it's obviously not. But it has to take something big to get me proper excited about something. Because now I just listen to podcasts about music that I like. Which defeats the point of it, really. But yeah, I think it's purely because just because your time changes and you don't really have enough. There's not enough time in a day to fit all your stuff in. And if you listen to podcasts, there's more of a commitment than listen to like an album. And I get far more invested in listening to a podcast than do an album these days. And I think it's purely because of my age.
Are you 34 years old?
I'm 32 in October.
Right, okay.
So, but I think it's because once you get... I think it's because when you get over 30s, I think, where you probably stop listening to a lot of new music.
So the average age is 34.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm a bit too early for that. I feel like I'm coming up on it, and I think that's the reason why I don't listen to a lot of new music, and it has to be like something really important to kind of put me over the edge. Like, I do listen to some new stuff, like that Headache Dan mentioned a few weeks ago. I've listened to that. That's a decent EP, and it's from Lower Than Atlantis. It's the lead singer from Lower Than Atlantis' album.
Is it?
I need to tell you that Lewis told me that.
Steve Chambers showed me it.
Sick.
And it's really good. And he was like, it's the guy from Lower Than Atlantis. I was like, you can definitely tell when you think about it. You're like, wow, it's a really good EP. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, cool.
But to be fair, a lot of my new music I get whenever Steve Chambers tells me to listen to an album or a CD, I listen to it.
Steve Chambers introduced me to My Chemical Romance. He's got first one to get. I'm Not Okay.
That story is on the podcast.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, but it's one of those things that I just don't listen to a lot of new music. I've listened to the new 1975 album about 3 times and I listened to the first half.
Yeah.
I can't get to the second half because there's just too busy doing something else.
I've mentioned before, but I think everyone listening right now should listen to Phoebe Green.
Whoa. At the end of the episode. Yeah. You never make a YouTube star.
Link in the description.
Yeah, you've always got to preface it with at the end of this video, then go and check out this.
Yes, at the end of this video, you should check out Phoebe Green. I think she's originally from Blackpool, all of them, but now Manchester based. And also Elise Mason, who's from the big old Rochdale, big up the OL16.
Local artist recommendation.
Yeah,
this is BBC introducing Rochdale now.
It is. So if you're in the Rochdale Metropolitan Borough area and you're a musician, send in your cassettes.
P.O. Box.
Hottest thing to come out of Rochdale since Lisa Stansfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully,
you just need somebody else, don't we, so that people can go, oh, Lisa Stansfield.
But the drummer from Good Charlotte, he's from Rochdale.
Is he?
Yeah.
Did he used to go to Backdoor Project?
One of the members of Slipknot, his cousin lives in Middleton.
Fuck off!
Which one?
Yeah, I think Sid. I think Sid's cousin's from Middleton.
Ah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so every time Slipknot play Manchester, he goes for a pint in Middleton with his cousin.
That's phenomenal.
Isn't it?
No one would recognise him.
No, exactly.
With his mask on.
Yeah.
Although I don't listen to a lot of music, I have actually been listening to the Hamilton soundtrack, literally.
Oh, have you?
All week, because it's amazing. Have you watched Edge of
I've heard a lot about it.
It's so good. I can't explain how good it is.
Is it as good as Midnight Back from the Cats musical? Because I love that song.
Yes. Well, it's like a rap musical.
Yeah.
It's so impressive that Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's just so talented, he can do anything.
Sick.
And it's such a good musical. I saw it on Disney Plus. So I watched it and I was like, well, it's definitely on Spotify, the soundtrack, and it's been absolutely rinsing it since.
Quality.
I've heard loads about it, but I've heard that what's not weird about it is that like the entire thing is basically in song.
Yeah,
there's no like parts where, because like usually in musical it's like song.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an opera.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like a rap opera.
No, proper musicals are all music.
No, there's like segues into approaching a song. So there's like minimal. There's other ones are like minimal dialogue.
But like Lim is no dialogue, 100% singing. For example, Cats, I think, is the same.
I wonder if there's actually an actual thing that you can, like, there's like a name and difference between ones that are all singing and ones that have songs. And
oh, that's a good point.
Ones that are all dancing.
All singing, all dancing.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Book of Mormon is a lot of song.
I need to see that. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That is, so that's, there's a lot of actual like dialogue in between the songs.
Okay.
Set up, essentially set up the scene for the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Hamilton is literally just, all of it is just, it's like a continuous song. It's like 40 odd tracks or something. Two and a half hours long. Two and a half hours long, which is quite intense for
yeah.
a musical.
Have you ever seen La La Land?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I really want to watch it.
It's so good. Oh, it's so, so good.
Yeah. And
such a nice atmosphere.
I can.
You said it?
Yeah.
When I went to see it at the cinema with Gemma, I came out and I'm like, fan, you know, loved it. So realistic. And she's like, nothing realistic about it. No one breaks out in song and dance. I'm like, no, they don't. But spoiler alert, people. Cover your ears.
Wait, okay, hang on. This is your spoiler warning. Go back in the room.
Relationships don't always end perfectly. Okay. So, you know, that's why I thought it was realistic.
I watched La La Land on an afternoon showing, and I was the youngest person there by about 50 years.
It's so good, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't think of what the music guy's called. Horowitz. I can't think of his first name, though.
I don't know.
Joseph Horowitz, maybe. But he also does music for Whiplash, which is a good film.
Oh, I've heard good things.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to know what The Guardian says the difference between a musical and a opera is?
Yes.
They are both made up of several songs or musical pieces connected by lines of dialogue. This is usually spoken in a musical, whereas in an opera it's performed with continuous singing.
There we go.
Hamilton is an opera.
It's a hip opera.
It might even be classified as a hip hop opera.
So, Caroline, you're on the show.
Yes.
Why don't you start? Tell us how you discovered the 1975 as well.
Okay. I feel like my storyline, my timeline's not going to match up completely because it's a very long time ago and I've slept since. But I'm pretty sure the first time I got introduced to him was I was living in Rottenstall. And me and Dan were going on our mandates, which is what we used to do because I couldn't drive. He used to pick me up and we'd go and have a curry and a catch up. And I'm pretty sure he picked me up from work one day and he was like, "You have to listen to this. This is absolutely incredible stuff."
When would this have been? Like, what?
2010 or 11, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's in between two. I think it's 2011 actually.
Yeah,
I think really close to that.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I was very close to leaving and I left in 2011. Yeah. Airport. So I'm pretty sure it was like that, the new year of 2011. And yeah, I just remember showing him, it would have been the song we're talking about today. It probably would have been Sex, Chocolate, I thought.
Robbers.
Would the city have been part of that or not? By
yeah,
that point?
It was.
The early demo, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll skip that one if I was trying to sell it to you.
Yeah, but yeah, that's how we got into it because he showed me them, and then I think we went to a gig in Manchester where
Control.
No, we went to a gig at the Roadhouse where I'm pretty sure there was a gig playing. There was a gig playing because of the Roadhouse, but we went to the Roadhouse and Dan was getting all excited because Matt Healy was there.
Oh, I've probably played it really cool actually.
And he was like, what band did we go to watch?
Why was Matt Healy there? Was it the Honeymoon Suite?
I'm pretty sure it was the Honeymoon Suite, but yeah. It was the Honeymoon Suite at that point. They were a different band at that
that's
point.
That's a great band name.
Yeah.
Was it not the Cape Race when Scott came with us?
No, this is well before. This is literally like the very, very early days. And I'm pretty sure we went to watch this band, and I think the only reason why we went to watch them was because we knew that they were there. And then But I was like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't really give a shit. But we were leaving, and he noticed you and Manny in the door. Like, they were in the doorway of the Roadhouse.
Oh, no.
And we walked past, and they were like, "Oh, right, bud." And you were shaking hands. And I introduced him. He was like, "Oh, this is Matt. I'm Matt." And I was like, "Oh, nice to meet you, mate." I didn't really know who he was. But we shook his hand, and we were like, "All right, we're here to watch the band. Yeah, yeah, they were really good." Like, "Oh, we're going now." I was like, "Oh, yeah, we'll see you later." We went, but you and Manny like buzzing your tits off. You were there, and you met him, and we were like, "Who was that guy?" But then, obviously, once you showed me the music and all that kind of stuff, I was like, "Oh, yeah, they're really, really good." And then we just decided to follow them everywhere they went, and fully involved in everything that they did.
You know what? I feel like I'll be less starstruck now meeting him as a global superstar that I would have been in 2012.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be that. Not that not ass, obviously I'd be very ass because they're amazing. But yeah. I think because we've already experienced that.
Yeah.
Starstruckness when we were back then, because we were like when we were sat in the academy, we were sat downstairs in the academy, in the bar, the Union Bar, and I bought a T-shirt there.
Yeah.
Which I still have, by the way. Yeah. Doesn't fit me anymore.
What's the T-shirt?
I got a 1975 T-shirt, like the original logo. 1975 T-shirt. So I bought one of them, and we were sat downstairs, and then I'm pretty sure he came over and asked us if we were there to watch him, and we're like, yeah, we're here to watch you, don't worry. And he was like, all right, we'll see you
don't
upstairs.
Don't worry, he was panicking.
So we were like, but it was that one that played Academy 2.
Yeah.
And we were like,
worst venue.
Definitely the oldest people. I don't mind the Academy 2. I don't get your gripe with it at all. But I've had some of my favourite gigs in Academy 2, that's the reason why. And my first ever gig, Newfound Glory.
Oh, nice.
No. Yeah, and they were just, it was so weird because it felt like we were definitely the oldest people in the room. And we were like stood at the front, and I just felt like I was taller than everybody there because it was definitely just full of kids there to watch Little Comets, was it? Were they the headline act?
Yeah,
it will have been, because when we bought those T-shirts, I've lost mine now since, sadness.
But
we bought them off Steve Leithwaite, I think that's how you pronounce his name, Leithwaite,
right.
Who at the time was working for Little Comets, but he is now the tour manager for Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Oh, nice.
So there you go, that's a nice tale for you. You bought your 1975 T-shirt off Catfish and the Bottlemen's tour manager.
Sweet, maybe on Instagram.
Inside knowledge Remind that him. You've got is unreal.
Yeah.
Yes, well, unfortunately I didn't actually get to watch them as many times as like Dan and Junior did, because I work in I worked in hospitality at that point, it was full time, and you don't have a life when you work in hospitality. So made going to gigs very difficult, so I had to like pick and choose the ones I could go to, but I pretty much tried to go to every single one we could go to. Actually, what I will say, one of the funny things is I was going to wear my 1975 T-shirt today, but instead I'm wearing this T-shirt today, which is, for people, obviously they're not going to see it, but it's a pack of eggs with the Have 11 on it. Because I made these for me and my friend who went to watch the 1975 at the Sound Control gig when they supported Kate Pryor, so at the Honeymoon Suite.
Yeah.
We went out after that. We went to a nightclub and ordered a bottle of champagne and decided to tell like a group of girls that we were in a band called Eggs 11 instead of Legs 11. And we'd supported the 1975 at the Sound Control gig. And they were like, "Ooh, like the 1975, they're gonna be huge." Yeah. Telling like random girls that we supported them with a band called Eggs 11.
Oh, no.
So then I made these T-shirts as a joke to wind up my friend's fiance. So yeah, that's as much I can really tell you about it. But they're just the mint, and I wish I had more time to get into them as much as I used to back then.
So have you? So obviously you got dead into them back then. Would you say that you've like sustained that and you've been keeping up with all the releases?
Yeah, I mean, I still listen to as much of it as possible, but I feel like this last album I've not really listened to as much, and I've listened to it a handful of times, but I can never really seem to get to the second half of the album, mainly because if I'm doing something, it's because I'm listening to it whilst I'm doing a task.
A task
like, you know, like cleaning or going to the gym and stuff like that, and obviously it's a very long album.
Yeah. I would very much suggest start at Roadkill.
You guys aren't fans of People, though, are you? But I love People.
I like it. I do like it. It's grown on me a lot.
Yeah.
I like it, but I'm not in love with it.
No.
Like, I'm in love with other stuff on that album, if you get me.
Yeah, I think if you were to put, like, Guns to my Head and you were like, oh, best songs on the album, I could probably only name you about three or four. But that's only because I've not really given the rest of the album a good seeing to.
Oh, I
gotta go balls deep on, aren't you? Really? Yeah, like Too Shy is amazing.
Yeah,
People's like great.
That.
Oh, I didn't say it was. I said it wasn't going to be as huge as you thought it was going to be. You were getting a bit too giddy about that.
I was.
It was. It's a fantastic song, and it's the highest song that they've ever had peak on in the UK singles charts. It's very impressive.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I commend them for that. But to be fair, I had that on repeat for a while. And then there's a couple of good songs on there as well. But I don't think it's ever going to beat the first two albums for me. Because even the second album is pretty much on a par with the first album for me.
I think a lot of people think that. I think a lot of people really... Everyone's famous is the one and two.
Yeah.
I think. And I think people really do struggle to say out of them which they think is the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the second is like a hair behind the first.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the second is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, first one's best.
I think the first one's... I think you touched on this when you spoke about it when you did the... when you did the album listing. It was the album listing when you listed which one you thought was favourite, but...
The ranking
one.
Our best episode, by the way.
It was a very good episode.
It felt good. We all finished it and we were like, oh, good, wasn't it? We're like podcasters, us.
I really wanted to make my own and be like, I want to see how it work out, but
yeah.
For one thing, Robbers wouldn't get anywhere near as high as it would do on your guys' list.
Mm. Mine was number one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
I was surprised how high I put it, you know, really.
I don't think it made my top five, at least, ever.
Yeah.
But I think that's because I can't... The original Robbers is far better than the album version.
That's
so
it.
That's why I can't give it the love like I think it does. But
yeah.
I think it's because of that moment in time of my life is why that album's so important to me and why it is better, slightly better than the second album. Because just everything surrounded that part of my life. That's why I love it. It's one of my favourite albums of all time and probably always will be one of my favourite albums of all time just because of the situation we're all in and where we were. We were living with Dan at the time, so we were just... Yeah, it's one of those things.
Do you know what? I know exactly what you mean. And I know you're a Blink fan as well, aren't you?
Big Blink fan.
I really like Neighbourhoods.
Oh, I do. I think it's great.
Just because at that time I was like just anticipating the album so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it's not... Like people don't even talk about it.
Yeah, but I think it's not fair.
I think it's great. I think it's just the associated time with that coming. I've been really into it.
Yeah. Do you remember? I remember listening to... I thought that was a segue on this one. I remember when Up All Night got released... And I was literally waiting up to when it got released and when it got leaked and when it appeared on the internet. And all I did for like 3 hours after that is just listen to it on repeat.
Yeah.
Being like, this is probably the greatest day of my life right now because they're finally back. And it's all I've been waiting for years when they broke up. And then when they said they would get back together, I just sat there going, well, I need to hear something at some point. And when it happens, and my head's going to explode. And it did. It's the same feeling I had when we first got like the 1975 plugs on the radio and when you first experienced that, because didn't they have like an embargo on being able to on sex being released, didn't they?
What was it there?
There was like a the radio station, they couldn't play it until a certain day, and I'm pretty sure Radio 1 had the official...
It would have been Turn Tight Shocker.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they had the rights to the first play because I remember you sending a message in the group chat.
You've got to listen at 7. It's about 7:30 PM and your man saying it's about to put on the hardest record in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'd done that and you sent us a picture of it and it was coming up next in the track list and it said sex. Embargo. Which meant that
that's cool.
They had to be the first people to be able to play it because the embargo was lifted and then it becomes like an actual
had
track.
You, I didn't know that. Had you heard that song... a recorded version of that song before?
Not that version, as in
the 1975 version, not like the old Drive-On
Radio.
It was in the radio.
That came after The City was first dropped on the remastered version of The City was done it. Yeah. I think they said that version they dropped was the last version that was the album version as well, because didn't they post something on Instagram where it was like, this is recording this sex for the third and final time or something?
Yeah.
Or like fourth final time, we were like, "Why? What's going on? Why aren't I using the same version?" When the album coming out, we all got a bit excited about it.
Mm. There's probably a lost version of sex for me, because obviously we've heard Drive Like I Do's, then the EP version, then the album version, and I probably don't know the differences really between the album version and
the EP version.
Yeah,
because it's just production stuff.
I think the City got re-recorded as well.
Yeah, it did.
It's probably but I bet Spotify just plays you the same track now.
Well, the way it's listed on Spotify is it's all on as the Deluxe album.
Yeah.
So it's like it starts as the actual album listing, then like all the bonus tracks are all the different...
Yeah.
So like the EP version of The City is still there, EP version of Sex is still there.
Right, okay. So you can listen.
Yeah.
Sick.
Well, so that's pretty much, that's my 1975 history, but So yeah, with in regards to the newer stuff, like I am keen. I always try my best to keep up with it, and I do get excited when new stuff comes out. But I can't say my enthusiasm is as high as it was. But I still classify as one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah,
just because they've done enough to secure themselves there. They're never going to be shifted out of like my top five bands of all time just because of how special they were and how best they have been. So.
There we go. Take a rest now. Have a week off, lads.
Mm. Yeah, they can release Turd, and I'd probably still be like, "Yeah, it's pretty good." This.
If we could pin you down to a favourite song
of all time.
Well, by the 1975.
Oh, I'm really like looking on a prayer. oh God, that is an absolutely well difficult question.
It'll change day to day as well.
It probably does change from time to time, but it probably would be either Sex, maybe Too Shy. I do love Love Me as well. Just because when I first heard that,
it was just like,
whoa, what the hell is this? What are they doing with this? It was just insane.
I can't wait for that episode, because the story of how I first heard that's really good.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give anything more away.
Well, yeah.
It's coming up soon, that episode.
Yeah, leave it.
Stay tuned for Love Me.
Yeah, just because when it kicks in, it's like when it goes, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Live as well, you know. Yeah. It's so good live.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how they would do that live, but then when I did hear them live, I was like, wow. Yeah, they absolutely smash it no matter what they do. Oh, actually, I need to... Yeah, the sound as well.
Right, so thank you to everyone who has listened to the show so far. We're super happy with, like, everyone from around the world listening to us. It's insane.
Thanks, Mum.
Yeah, so you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the1975pod. We're on Facebook as well, so you can search Pause It, Play It Pod on Facebook. And if you want to get in touch by email, it's pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. Also, which we always forget as well, we're bad at this. If your podcast provider does provide a rating service and a subscribe service, rating us 5 stars and subscribing really is like really good for the analytics. It'll boost us up the pod, so obviously more listeners, more guests and all that. So today we are talking about, is it even a 1975 song, this?
No.
What are we saying? Big Sleep, Drive Like I Do?
I think it was Big Sleep when this came out.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I think it probably should have been a 1975 song. Then they were toying with it, and I'll tell you why when we get into the song properly.
What a trail forward.
There you go, teaser.
I 100% think it was intended to be a 1975, and it just got cut the last minute, I reckon.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the Big Sleep song, Ghosts. But first, I can do anything down Gravity's phone in anticipation. It's feature time. It's feature time, everyone.
Everybody's favourite feature.
Hang on, we'll just cycle through the features really quick. 1975 news. Matty's bleached his hair. Okay. George Daniels last seen.
19 minutes past one in the afternoon yesterday.
The whole day.
Still got that number.
Busy man, isn't it?
That's that.
Busy guy.
Do you reckon the 1975 are just recording their own podcast about this podcast?
I hope so.
The 1975 podcast, Pause It, Play, Pause It, Play.
A podcast within a podcast.
Yeah, so then they're reviewing the podcast episodes of what you do.
I think that would possibly think the greatest thing ever. Yeah. If they did a podcast about our podcast.
I didn't like what Matt was saying this episode. I thought it was very hurtful.
Can't believe we thought it was only the 8th best track.
I'm not going to his wedding.
Right, so this is obviously Ghost is as old as like Chocolate and Sex and Love.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you heard it?
I'd have been in dance polo.
Oh, yeah. So you reckon you heard a recorded version before you heard a live version?
Yeah, but I think we might have. No, I think I only have this song because of the video. Oh. I don't think this song ever came out on MySpace.
No, it did. There was only two, no, it was on SoundCloud, this song. This was on SoundCloud, yeah. I'll tell you for why.
Because when I was researching today, the song,
yeah,
on the old interwebs, right? An article that someone wrote, I can't remember what it was called now, but it said that it was released along with another song on SoundCloud. There were no other social media presence apart from SoundCloud episode, and it racked up 90,000 views since the start of the year, and that was in 2011.
That's a lot for a... Yeah. Unsigned band to get like organically on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hype Machine, maybe.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, I still love Hype Machine.
I think, yeah. But so this was another song that I will have ripped either off SoundCloud or off YouTube.
Mm.
Sorry, Matt, but you didn't give us the opportunity to buy it, did you? You know what I mean? Asking for it, you are. So ripped and distributed via email. Gmail attachment. it was after the MySpace then.
Because they said there was no social media presence. Yeah. So they probably didn't realise they had been on MySpace at a certain point.
Yeah.
And been about.
Well, yeah, they might have cut because it was Drive Like I Do's MySpace. So they probably shut that down by then. So it's a different era to hearing Robbers, Sex, The City.
So it's after that.
Yeah.
They were called the guy referred to him as a Big Sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Sleep. And so that was, I can't think how we would have, maybe it was being friends with Matt on Facebook or something. Maybe they posted it, how we initially would have found out.
Mm.
It's a big one because it's like the follow-up to these songs that we just had for ages. And it was like, yes, they've got more of this shit. What the fuck? And it was, obviously it's a sick tune. It's a total vibe, so we were buzzing with it.
So live, do you remember hearing it live? So you heard the recorded version first and then the live version?
I don't feel like I've ever heard it
live. I don't think I've ever heard it live.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No.
Even at the early ones?
They didn't play it at the Deaf Institute one, so I guess you...
No. Did not play it at the Sound Control? Because I part of me remembers being very, 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 very buzzing about it. About, like, one of the old tunes.
Yeah.
And I feel like it might have been Ghost, but I can't... To be fair, it might have been Ghost or it might have been Chocolate at the time. I don't know. But I've got a feeling that we might... If we've heard it anyway, it would have been that Sound Control gig, I'd have thought. I was looking at the lyrics and I was like, I had no idea these were lyrics. They make no sense to me.
Yeah. I feel like the melody of the lyrics is fantastic and they possibly just came up with that. And then we're like... Come on, put some words in this for me.
Well, that's what they do. That's how they write them.
Yeah.
So, like, especially, and definitely with new songs. Cut with the songs, and Matty thinks of like, what song did they say on the Take Notes podcast? I Like America and America Likes Me. Have you heard it?
No.
Basically, they had the tune and they didn't have any lyrics, and Matty was basically, I think he said, what's that thing in like jazz where you just like sort of like
scatting.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He said he basically just started scatting over, just making like sounds as to what he thought the lyrics would be, and they were close to even keeping it with like not lyrics. Just him making noises.
Sweet.
And he was like, no, I think this is
a bit too... Cardi B in. Yeah.
They were like, yeah, this is a bit too much even for us. So, they wrote some lyrics. So, it's only appearing on setlist.fm once. Which would be...
Does it say what?
Kind of.
Manchester.
Yeah. Unknown venue, Manchester. 3rd of November, 2011. We are going to find out. This is going to be a podcast exclusive. What the unknown venue on the 3rd of November is.
Well, we might not do. I might have missed that gig. I might have missed it, Jeff.
One eternity later.
No, I don't think I have Instagrammed the ticket, unfortunately. Oh, I took a picture of it. But yeah, 19th of June was the first time. 2011 was the first time I ever saw the 1975.
Where was that?
That was at Sound Control.
So do we think that this unknown venue on the 3rd of November is also Sound Control?
Yeah, we've been to more than one gig at Sound Control to watch them, didn't we?
Yeah. Because the first time I went to see him at Sound Control was just with Dan, and I've also been with you and Scott when they supported the Cape Race.
Yeah.
Oh, has that been the first time? No, that might have been the first time.
No, because they were that night, the night we were worried about, they were called Big Sleep. We were scared that they were on the set list, the arrangement, but they were called Big Sleep that night, and we were like, oh shit, like, are they not playing this gig? But then they came out, and we were like, oh, thank fuck's them.
So, how do you feel about it then, in terms of a song that is by the 1975?
I think it's too good to not be on the album, but I suppose you've got to cut it down, haven't you? And, you know, get rid of Talk and put this on instead. What?
You swap it for Girls. It was such like a relief because, you know, we were selling this band hard. Do you know what I mean? Based on the MySpace songs. So when they released something that was also like, fucking hell, there's more. Like, see, we were right all along. It was a buzzing. And then for it not to appear on the album was like, got in. And then even, I think there was even talk between albums, maybe it coming out. Medicine did. We were sort of like hoping that Ghost would come out eventually. And obviously it never has. We live in hope.
But now.
It was really cutting not to sit on the album. Almost tarnished the first album when I was like looking through the track listing when it first came out. I'm like, what? And then because they always change the names and shit, I remember thinking maybe they change the name and
right, okay.
But no. Alas, it was not there. Spoiler.
Yeah, they did us dirty though, didn't they, really?
Real dirty, mate.
Which is annoying because you feel like it should have done, because I feel like does anyone know when the video was actually released for this?
It's hard to say. So
I tried to find when it was originally released, and I can't seem to find an exact date. But I feel like it has to be past to mid 2011, and I'll tell you for why. Right, this is so like out there. But in the video, Pine George, there's a poster. It's a Marvel poster, right? It said Marvel Heroes in the poster. But the logo they use for the Heroes bit is the same logo they use for it's the same font they use for Avengers, like the Avengers movies, like with the jagged edges of that. And they've never used that font for any Marvel stuff before that time. And they announced the logo and the actual thing at Comic-Con 2011. So I think it's past June, July of 2011 they made that video, which means it's so close to when they were doing the EPs and then possibly doing the track listening for the album. So I think it was literally teetering on the edge of being an album track. I mean, it's just so weird and it's so strange. But I noticed it in the background. I was like, I wonder if that's Avengers poster, but it couldn't have been Avengers poster because it was from 2011. But then I was like, when did the logo come out? Because there's nothing before it that shows that logo.
It's a great segue for a plug, Carlin.
I do a podcast. I do a Marvel podcast.
How is your Marvel knowledge so good?
Because I do a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast called the MCU podcast.
Go ahead, love.
So that's my MCU knowledge coming into this realm, and I was like, this is definitely a really good way to
Venn diagram.
But yeah, so I really think it was late 2011, and they'll probably discuss it on the 1975 podcast when they talk about this podcast. They'll give us the answer eventually.
Correct.
But. So I think it's late 2011 that it probably came. They made a video for it.
I think a lot of those posters were from Front as well, weren't they?
Oh, that's the shop.
No,
the magazine.
The magazine.
I don't remember Front. Was it like a classy version of like?
It was a goth version of FHM. Like,
oh, was it
a bit more like
Monster Energy version of FHM?
Yeah, it was.
They were lads, weren't they? They had nudie pictures up in their practice space and stuff. Again, so far away from the Matt Healy of today.
So the video is on YouTube, but we should say it's a re-upload by, what was the account, 1975 Archive?
Yes.
So if you've not seen it, go check out the video. It is very similar to Sex, but it's like, it's kind of like the Pokemon evolution stage before Sex, isn't it? Like, it's not quite as... it's not quite as well produced, perhaps, the video as Sex.
Yeah.
And there aren't as many posters on the wall as Sex. But it's that kind of like black and white vibe kind of thing.
I think it's probably the last video they made before they started on the EPs, though. Because Matt, he looks like a lot older than he does on like the Robbers video.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like the original Sex video.
Well, they were fresh, definitely. Like when we were listening, when they came out. Top three haircuts of Matt Healy, I think.
Oh, yes. Very good haircut.
That noise suggests you may not agree there, Josh.
A top three?
I think he looks really healthy.
I think
it's
Peak Healy.
I think he looks healthy AF.
Peak Healy?
Yeah, I think he looks great. Apart from just missing the leather jacket, but apart from that, I think they all look decent.
Yeah.
Why do you think they didn't include it on the album?
Because they're fools.
Did you have a theory, though? I don't...
My theory was around when it came out. I think it came out because it's a big sleep song. Maybe they just thought we should put that to bed as being a big sleep song. If they released it as a big sleep song, other songs maybe they didn't want to part with stuff like Sex and the City because it meant a lot to them. But if you think about it, is there a lot of meaning behind this song? Because I feel like there's probably can't be with the lyrics.
No, I wouldn't say
so. Maybe that's the reason why it didn't make it on there, because it didn't actually mean as much to him as it did the other ones. Even though it's an absolute banger, maybe it just didn't have the hard hitting, like, roots of the other songs. Maybe
I think it's too different musically to be included with the rest of them, and I think it would take a bit more of a rewrite to fit in with the style they wanted to do on the album. So the verse to me is that really like sort of like jangly indie sort of, you know, like that weird kind of like line. It's very like two-door cinema clubby. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit like Little Comets, I think. I don't know how familiar you
are. I'm not super familiar. Yeah,
there's a bit of them, I think, in it.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe they were aware of that.
Maybe, yeah, that's a shout.
It sounds like mathematical rock.
It is, yeah. It's a bit math rocky, isn't it? But it was like, you know, that was like late, around 2010, kind of like indie that was like, because all the sort of proper like big indie guitar bands had like, they'd like passed the peak, and you were getting people like Vampire Weekend that were a bit more like that. I think he's really in that style, and I don't think much else is around that style.
Do you think I think it fits quite well with Chocolate, though. I think it's got a similar vibe. That's why. But it's obviously it changes, doesn't it? The chorus doesn't I don't know what you mean. The chorus doesn't really fit as a 1975 song.
Yeah.
It's more like it's like if you and Chocolate had sex. And
I think it
came out with this. That's what it sounds like.
I think it's what it's similar to you. I think the bridge, especially where it all like breaks down, and there's that part in You where it's just like about synth sounds before the DIY dance part.
Yeah.
I think it's quite reminiscent of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if, because they do repurpose stuff, like, all the time. I wouldn't be surprised if the sort of bridge bit in this very much informed the bridge in You. And it was like, okay, we've got this song, we've not used it. Let's take the idea from this and put it in this song.
That would make a lot of sense. And You is up there as one of my favourite songs as well.
Yeah.
So I'll let them off for that.
Yes, tune in at You.
It's I think You's significantly better, which makes sense harsh on this song. I think it's a good song, but I think compared to other stuff around the time, I think this is one of the weaker ones.
Oh dear.
You
weren't there, man.
Yeah.
Weaker ones, though.
Well, yeah, I suppose I did put Girls at number 8.
Yeah.
And that's not because I think it's rubbish, because I think it's fantastic.
I've got a lot of hate mail from that, by the way.
Just from Lewis.
We got a complaint from the Super Late Night by email about it.
Yep, well, I can understand.
That could be our first merch, like just Girls and number 8 next to it.
Just a t-shirt. Like,
the album listed.
Like a hash 8 Girls.
Like, nah.
And then on the back, Juliet Echo Whiskey. Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, so I don't think it's quite as good. I can see why they dropped it. But I think they might have been aware about bringing maybe too many songs back.
Yeah, like they just wanted to kind of close off that period in their life.
Because like you said, like things like Sex and Chocolate are undeniable.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to take them forward. But I think some stuff, maybe if they're not feeling it, maybe they wanted to get into new ideas as well. And then what would have, in terms of like them creating music, what would have come after these? Would have been all the sort of stuff like Face Down.
I think it's sick, you know. I give you back, and if I could have this on the album.
Get rid of the City and put this on it for me.
I was
sipping when they put City on it and they didn't put Ghost on it. I really were.
Yeah, I get the
out of all the old ones, I mean.
The way the lyrics work, right, is different to everything else than that. Do you know, the man, not by me singing it, but like the rhythm of the lyrics And the, like that rhyme scheme of feeling, ceiling,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
that is not very Matt Healy, I don't think. And but if you took the lyrics away, I think it is like it could be a mixture of like sex and chocolate, maybe too much so. That and that could be a reason why they didn't go with it. But it was maybe too similar, I think. All the lyrics, like I think the lyrics give it that a bit dark fruitsy. Not the lyrics themselves, but like that, the way they're sung. Do you know what I mean? So I think maybe that
could have been too mainstream from you, say.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to spit out. Yeah, I think
they didn't want to be mainstream, did they? No. God forbid.
Not pop one.
He's his singing style is a lot more like the original Robbers.
Mm.
He's not refined to that kind of style that he did. The 1975 style that he sings.
Yeah.
Then maybe another reason they dropped it is that maybe he didn't think he could sing it in a different style.
What about if they actually recorded it? Then, because obviously when you record an album, you probably record more that actually go on the album. You maybe have like 20 songs and you like condense it down, and maybe it just didn't fit with what they were trying to do. Yeah. Like you said before, yeah. It'd be hard to think about where you place a song in that album.
I don't think Girls fits the album though. I don't. I mean, it's a great song, but
Could you put Ghost there though?
I think it's more fitting.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Right.
I don't think Girls sounds like anything else they've done.
Really?
Yeah. I think Girls fits on the second album better.
That's interesting. I definitely think Girls is one of the ones that they wrote towards the end of the first album.
Mm. Mm. That's the direction they might have been going in.
Yeah.
Should we get into the lyrics then?
Yeah, I don't actually know them. Because
I think there's 10 of them.
It's just might as well be flurby derby 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 petticoat.
Feeling.
This feeling gets the meaning. No.
I don't think there's any depth to them.
No.
No.
Which I think is maybe a reason why it isn't going in.
Yeah, but sometimes you just stick a tune on there.
Yeah.
Did any of you notice maybe a slight little reference to his mum and dad?
Time
thing.
Yeah.
Because it's Prince of the Tyne, because his mum's from Tyne Mouth, isn't it? And his dad's from Newcastle on Tyne. So maybe he's like, my parents are the king or queen of Newcastle and that. And here I am, I'm the prince. But that's the only thing I could actually think about, how it works in the song. But then, like, what the hell is it about?
Genius is saying that it was released on 14th of September 2010.
Yeah, I think with the lyrics, it's like, yeah, maybe it's another one of those where they was like, yeah, we like this song. And the lyrics, they thought the lyrics were good enough to a point. But maybe when things, it weren't good enough with the other songs they were taking forwards. Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Like, again, they're not bad lyrics at all. Like the line, that I'm dreaming, you're bleeding, depleted. I'm bouncing off the floor and your ceiling. Great, great two lines.
Yeah.
But in terms of the complete narrative of the song, I don't think it's on par with stuff that we've had previously.
Could it be about drugs, though? Because they like doing things about drugs.
Every 1975 song.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, because they do. Because, I mean, if you think about some of the lyrics, like, this car moves faster than I'm ever going to find you. Maybe it's about, like, just can't kind of keep up with what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, then,
not that, I couldn't say because I don't do drugs, so I don't know about any sort of feeling you get from them, but I could imagine.
Maybe they're just going for a drive, for a pickup, going collecting.
Well, the first line of the second verse, so you take a little bit if you want, so that was.
Finder's fee. That's a thing.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it's like, really, you listen to this song and you don't really listen to the lyrics. He's just making noises.
Yeah.
And guess you wouldn't know because you sleep on your side. Do you reckon that's like to sleep on your side is the recovery position in case you vomit in your sleep so you don't die?
Oh.
And you're not paying attention to me because I'm the prince.
Maybe it is deep.
Yeah.
We will find the depths.
But I think it's one of those where it's like, because like we said for the city isn't a complete narrative, like something like sex. It's just loads of, like, great lyrics stuck together. So maybe this was like the start of that. This is being, I think this is individually great lines, and like sort of great like two lines, for example, with some kind of like not filler between them, but stuff just to keep the song going.
Yeah.
Like if I read the line, "Yo oh oh yo oh oh, you always seem to get better," like. No one's getting that tattooed on him in a box, are they?
Well, it's funny you mention that, actually.
I was going to tell you later, but...
Yeah.
But that, obviously, that's, it's a great...
I might get that tattooed.
That would be commitment.
I'm going to be back, lower back. It's just like, what the fuck's that about? if you know, you know.
But it's like, it's moving the song along, and like the delivery of that is great. It's like a really well-phrased, sort of interesting...
Mm.
Like sort of melody that the vocals delivered, but I don't think it's just something. It's just moving the song along, I think.
Yeah. So it's kind of, we just kind of like, so this is a bit of a practice run,
almost
like an exercise in songwriting, and then they didn't need it.
But it might be that, like, we were sort of saying before that they knew what they were doing, and that they were putting stuff on MySpace for 2 weeks. Waiting for Dan to rip it off and then get rid of it.
I will distribute this.
I mean, Jimmy Drecker, they knew. He's got it, lads. He's got it. We can take it back there. George, exactly. Take it down.
The bait has been released.
Me and Manny would have calls like 102's back up. Well, he's back up. Get it. Like, I would heard it and then like not ripped it in time, but it's gone again.
But like, I think maybe they were sort of, they thought this song is alright, it's good enough to release. Let's just put it out there and see what happens. And like, let's put it out there as something that's gonna get people talking again. Maybe rather than let's put this out there as something that's gonna be a staple of our discography.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right at the start where they didn't have any obligations or there's no expectations of them, so they could just throw things out and see.
And also it might have been more of an exercise in like, because they went from, they were heavier before this, weren't they? Like, Robbers is heavier, and that's like a slightly older song. So I knew that sort of like emo, like the post-emo, whatever it was. Maybe this was more of an exercise of like, let's write something more in the style we want to make.
Yeah.
Let's release it, let's see the reception. See how Dan feels about it.
The most important thing.
Right, so then, yeah, I guess final thoughts on Ghosts.
I really like it. I feel like it should have been an album track, but as I previously stated, you know, you've only got so many minutes of an album before Polydor go a bit long, that, lads. So, you know, not everything can make the cut, but I think it's brilliant. It's a shame that it doesn't get the live outings it deserves, really.
I think it's awesome, and I live in hope that they will release it. I have this like fantasy that they go back and do like, I know these jokes about doing like a, well, maybe series, but doing a Drive Like I Do album.
Yeah, they've mentioned it a few couple of times. So
like,
yeah.
If like, you know, all re-recorded Lost Boys, 102, this,
yeah,
that'd be sick for me.
Cellophane house.
I completely agree with Dan. I live in hope of every single release that comes out that it might just kind of make its way on there. Maybe they've like hid it on like an album somewhere, like right at the very end somewhere, to try and find it.
Play Easter egg. Backwards.
Yeah. Like, it's there, guys, it's there, and they're just messing with us. I'm hoping that one day they'll do that, announce it like 20 years from now. Anyone realize we released Ghost, by the way? Just, like, what? I believe it.
I want them to re-release Chocolate as well and have that amazing at the end of it. Do you remember
that? I don't know about that. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, on the MySpace version of Chocolate, when it finishes, you just hear a voice go, amazing.
Shit! Do you have to add it really loud?
No.
Is it the voice from Lost Boys, though? Very good, very good.
Was it not a computer voice? Yeah. Not a computer voice, though. Was it not like, amazing?
I think it's just an octave drop on a human.
Like, it sounded like an American accent. It might have not been, but...
Yeah. For me, it's one of the best ones that they've never released, and... cry myself to sleep most nights. Feel like just tweeting Matt on a daily basis, asking why he never released it. But I completely agree and understand why they didn't put it on the album, because if you think about it, a body of work, it definitely wouldn't have worked with it being on there, because I can't imagine them putting it anywhere unless it was the first track. But then
if I listened to it now and the city wasn't there, I'd be pretty annoyed. So, yeah, it's a shame it never made it on, but for me, it would always be one of my favourite non-1975 tunes.
I like it. I like the song, but I don't think it would have fit on the album. I think... just trying to go past. I think it's a real... It's almost an experimental song for me. It's like a real song in transition. Going from sort of the heavier stuff they were doing into the more softer, maybe more indie vibe at the time that they wanted to go for. And I don't see either how they could have made this into a more... into a 1975 song from being a sort of Drive Like I Do, Big Sleep song. So, yeah, good tune. You gotta love watching it and you see them and they're all like 20 years old. Yeah. Like, it's just fun to watch this stuff. And you know what? One of the bands that, like, they're so open about this, aren't they? Like, this is like us before we were the band we are now. Like, they're not taking that stuff down off YouTube, are they? It's like, fans, go and look at it. So, yeah, I think it's good that it captures that. But I like the song, but I'm not upset. It definitely won't stop it for the city.
Yes.
Tell us about the MCU podcast.
Okay. Actually, this month is our 1 year anniversary. Been doing it for one whole year.
Cool.
English year.
What's your release schedule?
Monthly. I release episodes per month.
Yeah.
All we do is we talk about stuff that happens in the MCU. There's not been a lot of stuff recently because obviously COVID has completely shut down everything. We're trying our best to keep on going, but basically we just have a couple of guests on the month. We talk about all the recent MCU news and we discuss like a big topic for the month, like best villain, obviously not regarding apart from Thanos and stuff like that. Discuss potential plots for upcoming projects for like TV shows or films and all that kind of stuff. We recently discussed about who Ray Winston will be playing in Black Widow, because he's going to be in it, but he's not on any sort of posters or trailers, so people can't figure out who he's going to be. So that was one of the topics we're having. The next episode should be out at the end of this month. I'm trying to put some things in place to get like someone quite big to be on it the universe of a kind of nerdy culture stuff. So yeah, that's it. It's called the MCU podcast, and you can find me on the MCU guy on all socials. I also do one about going through a midlife crisis because I turned 30 a few years ago, and now I've realised that
20 years ago I turned 30.
I realised that there's quite a lot of things that people associate with going through midlife crisis actually kind of happening to me. Like, I've lost all my hair, I've got a younger girlfriend than me, got a tattoo, and I was like, oh my god, am I going through an early midlife crisis? So me and my friend decided to go together and we discussed topics about if you can classify them as a midlife crisis in your 30s.
Right, okay.
So we discussed stuff like getting a tattoo at 30, is that like the sign of an early midlife crisis?
I'm going to go with no for that, by the way.
Oh yeah, we found out that we already discussed that and we said it wasn't, but we were a bit worried that it was. That's called What's My Age Again, which obviously could be confused as a Blink-182 podcast. But yeah, that's what it's called. You can find that on all socials as well. That's What's My Age Again.
Professionally delivered as well.
Almost. Thank you very much.
What's next for us? Oh, wait. I know what it is. So next episode for us is the I Like You When You Sleep intro and review episode.
I don't know that album. Are you shortening it by any chance?
I have shortened it.
Well, get it its full title then.
I Like You When
You
Sleep.
This is Pause It, Play It.
Wait. Okay.
I actually couldn't tell you what the full title is. I
Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful, Yet Unaware of It.
So unaware of it.
God damn it.
I think there's like four, like, where you might say cause.
Cause
Shane messaged me up. I think you got the right. You get to fit when you're asleep, aren't
you? I watch you when you sleep.
Don't worry, I like the seaming up before you work.
And we've got a special guest for that. Hopefully we're getting Max Griff from Zella back in the podcast. I know that he's excited to talk about that album. So, again, you can find us at the 975 Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Pause It Play Pod on Facebook, and you can email us at pauseitplayerpod@gmail.com. Smash like, hit the subscribe button.
Hit the bell icon.
Drop the ball.
No, I don't think there's any bell icon.
No, there's not. We're the only bell.
Rate 5 stars if you can. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joshua Lynn without the vowels.
Also, don't forget to give us a Sterling review. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Junior, spelt JEWKNOOR, or if you are a member of NATO, like the United Kingdom are, that would be Juliet, Echo, Whiskey, Kilo, November, Echo, Echo, Oscar, Romeo. That is Jew, like the follower of the Jewish religion, knee, like the bend in your leg, or as in either or, Jew, knee, or.
How is it to see it in person?
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. I absolutely loved it.
I would like to add, if you do fancy giving me a follow, I'm not very interesting. My Twitter or Instagram won't be filled with 975 themed stuff. It'll be me with an empty biscuit tin that I'm upset about. Things like that. But, you know, put a follow request in, but possibly just give me a message as well so you're following me from the show and not your live Jasmine account, because I won't accept you if I think it's a live Jasmine ad.
Stop putting them thirst trap, man. That's what he's meant.
What's live Jasmine?
Who knows? Google it.
Ask
our dads. And Dan,
I don't bother. Find me here. Boom.
Here with his spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Dan fills his time with spreadsheets instead of social media.
Which is fair. No one's judging.
And oh, I know what we're gonna do as well. Oh, it's time. Visual rebrand.
Oh, it is?
Everything's going to be pink.
Ah!
I've got to redesign all the logos and all that.
You've got 7 days.
Producer Josh.
I've got to do that this week. I'll have more than 7 days because I'll do it for the release.
Yes.
We're ahead. We're ahead. Right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with the album review of I Like You When You Sleep. See ya.
Goodbye.
Yes.